go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
What a get from punt. Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. I am John Schmelk, the big man, our special guest today, Roll Tide, Howard Cross.
Roll Tide, there you go. Pay some respect. Way to do that. I like that, John.
And by the way, we will at some point talk about how it's ridiculous that Florida State is not the number one team in the college football playoffs at some point during the show.
Well, Alabama's actually the best team, but I don't know how you take the Florida State out of number one. They haven't lost yet.
Whoa, you're on board with that, huh?
No, I'm not really on board with it. Alabama's still the best team.
All right, we'll talk about that. And of course, we will take your calls on the New York Football Giants at 201-939-4513. And the Giants, Howard, it's a long time since you had a chance to say this on a Monday, coming off a victory 36-7 over the Tennessee Titans, a much-needed win for the Giants. They finally break their seven-game losing streak. Give me your thumbnail of the game here. Why were the Giants able to go into Tennessee and beat the Titans yesterday afternoon?
Well, the one thing they did that people don't really think about, they had a great pass rush. They had it 2 weeks in a row, believe it or not. And they always talk about finishing the game. That really wasn't the case. They didn't really let up. They kept going full speed ahead. They did a lot of things from, you know, kept blitzing, kept bringing pressure on the quarterback. They didn't go to prevent defense. The offense kept moving the ball down the field, which I thought was interesting because of the whole, about maybe midway through the third quarter, I was thinking, get Eli out of the game. get him out of the game. But they kept him in the game. They kept right. the ball down the field. So it was pretty good.
Yeah, they had that last play to Beckham. They had him on that little skinny post down the middle of the field. He could not get the completion. And unfortunately, Eli did get hit on that play. But all appears to be well. No sign of an injury for Eli coming out of that game. He finished the game. So that's certainly good news. And you mentioned, Howard, the pass rush on defense. And it seemed like, you know, Perryfield's defense did a good job against Jacksonville until the end of the game when they allowed that final drive for the game-winning score. They really seemed to put together a complete game yesterday. They had pressure on Mettenberger the whole game. The Titans couldn't run the football, and their rookie quarterback got knocked out of the game with that shoulder injury.
Well, he did get knocked out of the game, but he got hit a lot. You know?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't just the 8 sacks. It's all the contact he had during the game. He seemed to be getting up almost every play with Demontre Moore seemingly hitting him. JPP hit him a lot. The linebackers were getting in and hitting him. Safeties were hitting him. I think one time the official tackled him. So he was having a bad day.
Now, in terms of the Giants' pass, we saw JPP get in there a couple times. He had one of those strip sacks coming off right end. Demontre Moore had a sack, and we'll talk about the other Demontre Moore stuff in a second. Devon Kennard got back onto the stat sheet with the sack, a second straight week where he's had a sack. So talk about the individual pass rush performances you saw from this defense yesterday.
Well, I saw, you know, JPP be a little more creative on his pass rush, which was a good thing. I think he may have watched some tape of himself. He didn't just continue to go to one side and go back. He used his hands a lot more, pushed to the outside. Once he figured out he had a guy he can beat, he really went after him. Demontre Moore, you have no idea what he's doing out there when he's rushing on the passer. And by him being so young and so unpredictable, it's not an easy way for guys to get a quick set on him and stuff. Kennard, I will just say the kid looked really good. I don't think we've had a linebacker to rush the quarterback since, I have no idea, maybe LT. And LT and Banks and those guys, I mean, he actually can create and produce a pass rush and get around the offensive tackle. Once he gets around the tackle, he can actually take on a back, and he knows how to get around him. He's a very good player.
And, you know, from a linebacker position in the 4-3 these days in the NFL, you don't have a lot of guys that rush the passer from a 4-3 linebacker spot anymore. And it really seems to me is a lost art. And it's something that I think happened a lot more while you were playing in the late 80s and 90s.
Well, you know, when you have guys like you had guys, Pepper was a good rusher. You had Banksy that was a good rusher. You had LT, of course, who was the legendary rusher. You have guys that are making plays like that all over the field. It's not just having the ability to get around the offensive tackle because they have so much speed. It's what you do when you get to the second level. And if you're good enough and you're putting on that kind of pressure, that's when, and I do mean that's when, they'll start to bring the second guy to try to stop you.
No doubt about it. And in terms of the secondary, Howard, we saw the Giants make some adjustments in how they were playing in the secondary. Zach Bowman barely played any defensive snaps in the game. Mike Harris came in. He made a couple of plays. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie had a pick. And the secondary really did shut down that Titans offense. Now, granted, they're missing their top two receivers. You know, Kendall Wright had a broken hand, so he didn't play. And Justin Hunter, when he lacerated his spleen the week before, so he didn't play either.
I don't think he lacerated his spleen. I think
someone else lacerated his spleen. Yes, correct. So Derek Hagan was in there, who's a former Giants special teamer.
Yep.
And then you had Nate Washington, the veteran as well. But this Giants secondary did do a pretty good job in the back end, not giving up those big plays that have really plagued them all year long.
Well, they did do a good job. They made some good hits. They were perfectly timed on the passes when the ball was coming out. You know, Rodgers-Cromartie makes that pick, takes it into the end zone. Fortunately, brought it back, but that was a good play. You had some other guys came up and made hits. I think one of the great ones is when, you know, you see two guys hitting him and the ball pops up and
yeah.
you get the interception. That's, you know, being at the right spot at the right time. The secondary really did a good job of getting to guys.
Did it bother you at all, the role Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie celebration after the pick, or is that just a team and a defense just being so joyous that they're looking like they're going to get that win and break that losing streak?
I think it's funny because, you know, you hear people say things like, act like you've been there before. Well, they hadn't been there in a long time. So maybe they didn't know how to act at that moment, but it was a good moment for them. You know, as long as you're winning, anytime you get a chance to win, the league is a little bit of a no-fun league.
It is a little bit. I agree with you, 100%.
They don't like a lot of individuality, but if you got good guys, you should, you know, that's what, believe it or not, that's what helps marketing of the league, when guys do celebrations. When kids see that, they're like, I want to do that move. I want to do something. That makes it more fun, more inclusive. It makes the league grow up.
Who had the better return for a touchdown? The high-stepping Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie or the rumbling, stumbling, bumbling, to quote Chris Berman, Marcus Kuhn?
Marcus Kuhn's return for a touchdown may have been the slowest return. I thought as I was watching it that Kuhn was running in slow motion, and I realized it was a live event. So it was pretty funny.
Didn't it was either Gilbert Brown or somebody else have a touchdown? I'm trying to remember. There was one Warfolk from the Patriots.
Yes.
That's who I was trying to remember. He had a return for a touchdown that was very similar to Kuhn a few years ago.
Yeah, but Kuhn, at least he didn't look as tired when he finished.
He
Warfolk
didn't.
Looked
That's
like,
true.
You know, get the oxygen, help me off the field moment.
All right. I want to stick on the defense for a few more points before we get to the calls and switch to the offensive side of the ball, Howard. Demontre Moore had a chance to play some more snaps last week. Probably not as many as some Giant fans still would like. I'm sure we'll get some calls about that. Colin Jenkins did get the start at defensive end. Can you break down Demontre Moore as a player for fans out there? Because a lot of fans really think he should be playing more snaps. You know, Perry Fuel and Tom Coughlin have been asked that. They've talked about what his deficiencies are as a player and why he's not playing as many snaps as some fans might think. Why don't you give me your take on what you've seen from Demontre Moore, and where is he still lacking as a player, and where do you think he is right now, a pretty good player?
Well, let's actually put things in perspective, because a lot of times when fans see things or hear things, that they're trying to, you know, make something happen that they're looking at. First off, if you get one sack a game, you're a Pro Bowl player, but you play 60 snaps a game. So it's kind of like playing baseball almost. You're trying to make the one play. So when they see the one play, they assume that the rest of his game fits the one play that he just made.
Because that one sack isn't necessarily representative of the rest of his play.
That is exactly right. You have to be able to play to run well. You have to be able to play. You have to be able to create sacks from your responsibility,
right,
not going off the chart like, okay, I'm going to take the inside play here and I'm going to get to the quarterback. That works one time. You get a sack. Everybody celebrates. The next time the quarterback keeps the ball, runs around the end, no one really realizes that you're out of position.
Right.
So, you know, and I'm not saying that's what Demontre Moore does, but that's part of the game. You have to be able to stay in your lane, do your responsibility. One mistake causes a first down. One mistake causes a touchdown. In defense, everybody has to be kind of like they have to set the fence up. That's what they call it, defense. All the posts are in their lanes. You leave no areas for people to get through. Demontre Moore hasn't yet developed into the person who can be that stock in the fence, and you know he's going to be there.
So it's consistency, it's discipline, and I guess part of it is also strength, because right now he still probably is a little bit undersized in terms of defensive end, right?
Well, you know, that, again, that's the new age athlete. The new age athletes are better in shape. They look better. They're leaner. But.
I was waiting. I knew it was coming.
Listen, if your job is to play a game, and right. your focus is your body, and you know you need to get stronger, that would be the focus from the off season through the season to the next off season. You're trying to get bigger and stronger.
Let me ask you this: from a guy who's been through this, getting the weight up and down to play tight end and mm-hmm. you know do all these different things, how hard is it for a player in the off season if they say, "Look, I want to put on 10 to 15 pounds of good weight"? Anybody can put on 15 pounds of fat, but if you want to put on 10 to 15 pounds of good weight, how hard is it for a player to do that over a 6 month off season?
Well. The world's changed a lot, so now we're more, you know, we're more in tune with nutrition and everything. So you can actually put on a lot more weight by, you know, increasing your protein intake and everything, and
right.
and it will help you get bigger. You will not get 15 pounds bigger. You won't get 20 pounds bigger because, again, you're still going to burn a lot of calories when you're working out. So you have to understand that once you understand your body makeup, what helps you get bigger, you can actually change your body. Really quickly, you can get really strong, but you won't necessarily put on 20 pounds of weight.
All right, I want to touch on the offense here as you go along, but we got four people on hold. I want to get to your calls at 201-939-4513. Listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home 10 grand. Howard's checking it out right now. Head to DraftKings.com now and enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for free entry right now at DraftKings.com.
You said I could win some
That's
money.
DraftKings.com. Howard's all about the green, baby. Well, he loves the big blue, but he also likes his green. Everyone does that.
Everybody.
Got to like that. All right, let's go to the phones. Bob and Brick is up first on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Bob, what's going on, pal?
Hey, hello. How you guys doing?
Doing well, Bob. How are you?
Great.
All right, great. Listen, well, I guess since you guys are going to start talking offense, my timing is just perfect, so that's good.
Go ahead.
One of my things is, you know, on your site and on other Giants sites and so forth, you always hear so much trashing of Tom Coughlin about the offensive play calling, and you hear a lot of people talking about during all the games that were being lost that he was holding back McAdoo. I'd love for you guys to somebody, if you truly know the answer, is it really valid that the head coach is sitting there telling McAdoo, no, I want this other call, and holding him back?
Because, well, Bob,
I just don't believe that that's happening that much.
Well, Bob, honestly, number one, I know you're not hearing that on this site because we haven't written about that. We even talked about it because, quite frankly, anybody that writes that, I hate to put it this way, they're making it up because nobody knows what's going on in those headsets except for the coaches. And I guarantee you, McAdoo's not leaking to the media that Tom Coughlin's overriding his call. So anybody who says that's happening, nobody has a damn clue what they're talking about, to be quite honest with you, number one. And I agree with you. Tom Coughlin, while he is an offensive guy, Howard, and you know that he's a wide receivers coach, he likes his offense. When they brought in Ben McAdoo here, they committed to it.
Yeah.
And the offense this year looks a lot different than it has in years past. I mean, I'm not going to say Ben McAdoo is free reign. Tom Coughlin's still the head coach, but I think he has a ton of freedom to do what he wants on offense.
I think he's been developing his team as they go. I think you guys got to realize on the outside looking in that, first off, you want to get 11 players or 12 players that are going to play the entire season. Hasn't had that.
Right.
So you see Eli making adjustments and trying to figure out how to make things happen during the game. You know, they're running the muddle huddle. That means that the play is going to be snapped. The ball is going to be snapped a lot quicker. But you notice that the clock keeps running down. Why is it running down?
Eli's, you got to go there. Eli, you got to go here. You got to go there.
Yeah, what are you doing over there? Come over here on this side. It's left. Left is this left. Right. Not the other left is this left.
Bob, what else you got for me? All right, Bob, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it, dude. Sounds like we lost
Bob
there.
Guys. Thank you. No problem.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. I wanted to, actually, one other thing I want to mention too, Howard, in terms of McAdoo. Do you think at all – the shifts and the changes in the offensive line and some of the inconsistency from time to time has affected the way he's been able to play call plays as well.
It depends. You know, it all depends on the maturity of your team.
Right.
You know, people don't realize this, that you don't – guys who take it to heart and try to learn everything when you're not playing, that's the hardest thing to do when you're not in the games, when you're not getting actual –
It's preparing as though you're starting even though you're –
Yes.
The odds are you're going to be inactive.
Hardest, it's right. The hardest – it's a gift. It's not something that's easy to do because if you don't play for 8 games or 9 games and you're still preparing like a starter – that's a lot of preparing to do to try to have yourself ready to go where you can be a part of the actual game plan in your mind. But when it's actually time they pull the trigger, now you're acting on what you've studied and everything, but not what you've actually done personally and physically on the field. So for him, when guys come out and go in, it kind of changes. You got to see where they are in their study, where they are in their preparation. Are they there? And you know, it sounds kind of silly, but it's the hardest thing to do. Imagine – practicing every day and never getting a chance to do it.
It takes the motivation away to practice, doesn't it?
It doesn't take the motivation away. It takes your sharpness away. Right. Being able to actually, oh, I got to take on this blocker. Oh, I got to, you know, I got to rush the passer. Oh, I got to, you know, I got to drop this way because the guy's going to make his move. All that stuff, you have to practice it. But if you're not playing, you're not really practicing it.
It's almost like one of those deals where you go out there, you run, you prep for a marathon, and then you never actually run a marathon.
Well, I always say it's like playing golf when you hear a guy say, I visualize a shot. So let's say like you live in New Jersey, New York. It's from basically December to like April. You're visualizing shots because you're not playing in the snow.
No, you are not.
Correct. So you're there.
Well, you are, and I know.
Well,
Some people are.
I'm not playing when it's cold. Believe me, I'm a wimp. So you might go to an indoor driving range and hit shots. And it just doesn't –
it's not the same.
It doesn't feel the same until you actually see it, until you actually are out there. And then when you're in range, you're hitting off a level, easy spot. When you're on the course, there's uphill, there's downhill, there's deep grass, there's short grass. I'm in the deep grass a lot. So there are trees to deal with.
There's an arrow fairway. There's a tree. There's a bunker on the left.
There's a lot of things to deal with. And until you actually do it, you can't do it.
By the way, one guy that's not a wimp from the cold, or at least I hope he's not considering he lives out in Minnesota, is Nugs. We're going to Nugs next. What's going on, Nugs?
A couple times a week for
– Nugs, what's up, pal? Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, you guys? It's an honor to talk to you, Howard Cross, for the first time.
I'm glad one person thinks that.
What I wanted to do was I wanted to touch on, basically piggyback on what the last caller just said. I was reading on NFL.com that Tom Coughlin has prepared the players, like gave a brief, you know, speech about they should be prepared to answer questions about his job or whatever and not to let that distract them. And then the article says that he never mentioned it again, but that he just kind of put that out there or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And, well, look, Nugs, that's smart. I'm in that locker room, and almost every player that I've seen get interviewed over the past 2 or 3 weeks has been asked that question. So that's coach's job, and he's right to tell him. It's not your – don't worry about it. Don't think about it. Don't talk about it. I'll deal with that. You just go out there and do your job. Is that what a player has to do?
Well, it's kind of hard, though, because, you know, today it's all we want to do. We don't talk about the game itself. The game is exciting enough with, you know, the 60 minutes of game time. But it's the story around the game.
Right.
And the job of the press and the media and everybody is to try to get – we need a story. Coach Coughlin – is he going to stay? Is he going to go? Is he going to get fired? Or what's going to happen? Are they cleaning house? That's their story. And when they're doing that, you ask players. Players don't really have a – they can't do a lot about it. They can only work on the season.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think that Tom Coughlin has enough he has enough goodwill left in the organization. I don't see them firing him. I see the worst-case scenario being they let him play out the final year of his coach out the final year of his contract and then just say, well, we're going in a different direction. That gives McAdoo one more year. That gives Coughlin one more year. I do believe that there will be changes made on the defensive side of the ball. But I just wanted to basically call up and just tell Giants fans that, you know, if we get rid of Tom Coughlin, what's out there? Another coach is going to bring in. He's going to want to run his own offense. He might think Eli's washed up. He might want to bring in his own quarterback.
Well, I hope not. I hope that's not true.
I know, but you know that happens a lot of times when you get a new coach.
They want their own guys.
Comes into a team, he wants to be. You know, he wants to be married to his quarterback, just like Tom Coughlin's been married to Eli. You know what I mean? And I'm just saying, what do you think will be the changes that will be made? I hope that the franchise just goes in the direction of, let's not go so free agent heavy next year.
Well, I'll say this. First of all, I will give my usual on the show thing here, where we're obviously have our checks signed by John Mara, both Howard and I.
Yep.
And Howard's a lot bigger than mine, but that's okay.
And
we really can't comment on job status or anything like that, or who we think is going to get fired, who's not going to get fired. These are our coworkers, these are our friends. We can't comment directly on that. All we can say in regards to that is that, look, John Mara will sit down with Steve Tisch, and they'll evaluate everything after the season, and they'll come to their decision at some point.
Yes, they will. I think that you have to think about this. Let's do Coach Coughlin just from a perspective of forget about firing and not firing. Let's say you decided to move on. Look at his resume versus anyone else's resume that's out there in the market right now, and that's what you would decide on. If that was me, that's what I would be looking at. So as for fans and everybody who wants this instant gratification, look at the resume. You talk about a guy who has an incredible resume, taking teams to playoffs, winning two Super Bowls, and he's a good coach. He finds a way to play with whoever's there. He figures it out and makes it happen.
I personally look at Tom Coughlin – in the same vein as I looked at Bill Parcells, you know, like he embodies our organization right now. He should be able to coach for life. He should be like the you know, I want to say paterno, but I don't want to put
don't want to say that
with him either. You know what I mean? But he should be able to coach this team until he feels like he's done coaching. You know what I mean? I mean, we can't expect 5 Super Bowls in a row. You know what I mean? He's given us 2. Yeah, we've missed the playoffs, but I just think that we've missed the playoffs because we've gone so free agent heavy. We need to go back to the draft. We need to go back to unnamed, unsigned guys who are fresh out of college and hungry, you know what I mean, and build this team from the core up with players that we bring in through the draft. Say, keep the couple free agents that we absolutely are going to need. I think that's Rashad Jennings. I think that's Cromartie. I think we need to give Thurman another 1-year contract to see if he can stay healthy and help our secondary, you know, work out the stuff with Prince. I'm not so sure about JPP, depending on what's out there. But I just think we need to just go minimum on the free agents and really go back to building this giant team and this giant mind state with young, fresh college players. And plus,
we had
a player like Odell Beckham. I mean, let's keep it real. Of course the offense is going to look different. He's like a Percy Harvin. He's literally like a Percy Harvin.
Well, no, I'll tell you right now, Odell Beckham's already a better wide receiver than Percy Harvin ever was or ever will be, in my opinion.
But
I think that's how much better Beckham
is. Just think about it. He's a true receiver who can – he just showed you he can beat Richard Sherman. Okay, that's without training camp or OTAs or anything like that. You know what I mean?
So all right, Nugs.
You know what I mean? But
I hear you, man. We got to run
some Percy Harvin type
all right,
like
thanks,
playmaking.
Man. Appreciate
just
the call,
playmaking.
Dude. Thanks, dude. Appreciate the call, man. All right, Nugs gets a little excited. It's okay.
He gets a little excited. He loves his team. I'm not mad at him for that. I like that.
He rapid fired through 3 or 4 things at the end there. I want to get your comment on a couple of them. How would you break down Jason Pierre-Paul's season? As someone, I know you keep a close eye on him during the game from the sideline. I know you do.
Yeah, JPP's having a decent season in the run game. But again, we look at the game as a fan. If you're looking at it as a fan, you only care about one thing: sacks. You want him to have 15, 16, 17 sacks. You want him to have double digit sacks every year. But if he's a run stopper, if he's doing all the other things, that's great. Now, how do you get paid in the league? You don't get paid for making tackles.
You get paid for making sacks.
You get paid for making sacks. So, you know, JPP, he's in a precarious position right now because he's got to figure out a way. He's got 3 games left. He's got to get some. He's got to, you know, raise his sack total. He's got to go back.
And he had what, 2 yesterday?
Yeah, he had 2 yesterday, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So he's got a lot of work to do in the last 3 games to try to figure out. It's not going to just be the Giants. It'll be the league.
Now, what does JPP need to do to get back, and or can he get back to that? Maybe not 16, maybe not 70, but can he get to that consistently 10 to 12 sack a year type of guy?
Well, what he needs to do is to coach up Dunt Moore. He needs to coach up other guys on the line to prevent him being in a double team every play.
Right.
Or having extra guys looking at
him. So you are seeing him getting extra attention every game.
He does get extra attention.
Okay. I mean,
when he does, if he gets it going a little bit, they're like, okay, let's chip him up a little bit. Let's slow him down so we can get, you know, we can keep him in check if we chip him.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
201-939-4513. Make somebody else beat you. And I'm sure that's what teams are going to start doing, Odell Beckham Jr. too. Though, it really hasn't worked so far this year because it seems every game he does a little bit better. And, boy, Howard, you know, we knew he had talent coming out of school. You know, the game tape was good. He had good hands and all that stuff. There's much more polish on his game than I thought there would be, considering his lack of practice time in the offseason.
I think he's a kid that likes to compete. I think that's one of the things that that in the league people don't really think about. When you see a real competitor, a kid that really, really tries to compete on every play, it makes a huge difference in the game. So that means when your quarterback throws the ball to you, that thanks for drinking my water that I was going to put.
Oh, that was yours?
Yeah,
well, that's yours now.
But it makes a huge difference when a kid like when a
I
kid
got the cold one,
has the coach has the confidence of the quarterback to say like, hey, you throw it in my direction. It's not a 50-50 ball. It's more like, you know, 70-30. It's my ball. I'm going to get a shot at it. Mm-hmm. So that's what he's doing, and that's what makes him a great player, and that's what makes him a player that's changing games and having people tweet all over the league about him, have LeBron want to take pictures with him because the kid's competing at the highest level. He's not just saying, all right, I'm covered. No, throw it to me. I'll figure it out.
And it's funny, heading into the league, before we saw him, I think he was sold as more of an explosive top-end speed guy. And we've seen less of that, but more of the making the contested catches, going up and getting the football, being physical with the cornerback type of guy.
He's a physical, little, aggressive guy. Almost when I think of Odell Beckham, I think more – he's not the breakaway speed guy.
You know who reminds me of? Steve Smith in his prime with the Panthers.
I would say he is the Steve Smith right now, this league or of our team. He's aggressive. He's competing. He's not backing down. No matter who you bring up, you can take your shots, whatever. I'm here for you. I'm going to be here every game.
All right, back to the phone to 201-939-4513. Joe is in Pennsylvania. Joe, what's going on, pal?
Hello, John there. And I guess I'm the second guy to be an honor to talk to Howard. I never talked to him before, you know, but man, he did the work in them all the time in the line, the hard work when he really had a block, and he was always sure-handed when he was out for a pass. And you were tough, Howard. I really honor you, man.
You know, Joe, and the funny thing, you can set a look at Howard's eye when he says, you know, guys don't get paid for making tackles. What his real thing is, guys don't get paid enough for blocking. That's what he's thinking.
if he should go and get Robinson. He has all the tools. The guy showed me he can catch and everything. And I don't know, get out there and Howard, tune him up or something, because he has all the tools. You see it there. There's nothing stopping him. And just give the team your attitude. You know what I mean?
That's
what you need. I mean, but it's great to get a win, too. So, and the future, I think the future looks great everywhere you look. It was a great draft. I compare it to the draft with Bradshaw, you know what I mean? Only that one was a little better because they had a draft lower, and they did great,
right.
I think. So, it looks great. You look everywhere, young guys in the defensive line, young guys in the offensive line. You know what I mean? Williams had his coming out game yesterday, I thought, you know? It was great, and with Beckham, we could put Beckham at quarterback here shortly if you wanted to wait.
I think it was 50 yards in the air.
It's 50 or 60. He slung it. That was impressive.
He could do anything, really and truly. You just think him at quarterback, seriously, with his mobility and running and that.
He'd be out of the game in about a week. It'd be about two weeks before everybody gets to him.
Great going forward with him. Yeah. Like I said, next year is the season, and it has to be. You know, they all have to be. Jerry comes back. He had a great draft. Parcells there. He's a classic like you, Howard. He has to come back. Coughlin, I mean, he has to come back again. You know what I mean? And I think next year, the last few years had a lot to do with injuries and the system. And I think next year, unless we have all these injuries again, that's the only thing that's going to stop us from getting into respectability again.
All right, Joe.
So, I hope we can beat the Eagles. I was one,
the
only thing
you
I
mean
was
the
disappointed in this last game was that they didn't replace Eli late in that early in that fourth quarter, give NASA some time. We know what Eli could do. We're up 30-some points. So I don't know if he's going to get a chance again this season. So that's about it. And I hope we can beat them Eagles. But I look at their defense.
Redskins.
Their defense does good rushing.
He's a couple weeks ahead.
Yeah, that's okay.
I know that. But their defense does good rushing. I don't know. Maybe Perry Fuel should look at that. The pressure that they can bring in. They don't have better personnel than the Giants. The defensive backs are worse, you know, one of the worst in the league. But they can bring pressure with that front four.
Yeah, that's
and I
fair.
Think that's what's hurting JPP because they double-team him, too. You got to look at that.
Okay.
All the time they're double-teaming him, too. He's the main whatever. So, and he is good against the run in that. But their system seems to be working, bringing the pressure. They really put it on the Giants' offensive line, so... That's all I have to say, but the future looks bright.
Great. Thank you, Joe.
I'm concerned.
Appreciate it.
We'll see you again. Bye-bye.
Great. Hey, I hadn't talked to you about Andre Williams. He did have his coming out party. First time, I think, two Giant rookies had over 130 yards in X number of years. I don't remember the exact stat, but somebody tweeted that out earlier in the day. Your thoughts on Andre Williams? You know, did you see something different from this past week? Was it just better blocking? What allowed Andre Williams to get his 130 and average 5-plus yards per carry?
One thing was you got to take into account he did play against Tennessee. They were not the strongest run defense.
32nd in the league out of 32 teams, to be technical.
That would mean they were last. But anyway. No, but the one thing that Andre Williams can work on that I think, and again, I'm not a running backs coach. I don't know what he's seeing or anything. He likes contact.
He runs to it a little bit, right?
Oh, my goodness. He likes to get in there and mix it up. He's got a. He's like, I'm going to crush this guy. I'm like, yeah, but if you want to stay in the league, let that guy alone. Just go to the sideline and cut up the field. It's going to be okay. And you see that the kid has speed. So if he gets a little more of, takes a couple hits at a guy, and then all of a sudden the next time when the guy starts to duck his head and get ready for the contact, he just takes that step and goes outside, he's gone. It's a math problem. I always tell guys, like, you run the contact because you see somebody. Run to the opposite. Run to the negative area where there's nobody there, and you'll be okay.
Run the daylight, right?
Yeah, I mean, but it's hard to get guys to do that sometimes. And he's a contact. He looks the part. He looks like he wants to run over you. So that's something he'll work on.
Back to the phones. Ernest is in Connecticut. Ernest is on next. What's going on, Ernest?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
We're doing well, Ernest. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Listen, there's a couple of things that I want to say, if that's possible.
Yeah, sure. Just get to them quick, Ernest.
Okay. The very first thing I want to say is that why are they overusing Odell Beckham Jr. when there's nothing to lose so much? I'm not saying not to use them. They have on punt returns and everything else and risk the chance of him getting injured. And then next season when we start off, we'll start off with another injury-prone season, with, you know, with possibly our best receiver injury, unless he is going to get injured.
Ernest.
But why put him in that? They got him for punt return. They got him every ball they're throwing him. They got him throwing passes. They're even talking about him playing defensive back. What's through these people's mind? You know, we're going to have Cruz back next year.
Go ahead, Howard.
Hold on one second. Like, I love your concern for Odell and that he could get injured, but the reality of it is that they pay us and they paid me to play football. I would be very upset when I was playing if someone tried to take me out of a game. That's why Eli won't come out of the game. That's why you see other players not coming out of the game. And to hurt, you know, to be honest with you, if you have players who are seeking to get out of the game late in the games, when the games are out, that means that they're not looking at the whole picture. Because if you are paid to play, they should, like, preseason games, I wanted to play every time if they opened a stadium and they said, okay, we're going to play today, I was there. That's kind of what Odell Beckham is. If he loses that feeling or that fire that you have
it's
to
a bad
do that,
thing.
It's a real bad thing. So, yeah, it's a danger, but the game's dangerous. You don't play the game thinking, oh, this is going to be great. Oh, guys are flying around at me. I should be fine. This is not an action movie. It's real life, and these guys have to play.
Yeah, and Ernest, on top of that, he's only played in 7 games. This kid is still learning. He needs reps. So you can't start worried about next year. You need to, you know, he's still getting better, as good as he looks. Every time he plays, every time he sees a different opponent, every time he sees a different type of defense, this kid's getting better. So he needs reps out there.
He also enjoys playing. So taking him off the field and having him watch the game does not, you know, feed his enjoyment.
No. I think you misunderstood what I was saying.
Okay.
I didn't say take him off the field. What I said was overusing him. They have him on punt returns.
But that's taking him off the field, Ernest.
They're throwing the ball to him every single play. What I'm saying is that the punt return duties, if you remember years back when Jason Sehorn was playing, Jason Sehorn was a very good cornerback. Very good. And they started same Tom Clark. No, it was. But anyway, they put him back there for that punt return, and what happened? He got injured, and he was never right since. So the only thing I'm saying that maybe they could probably take like a Corey Washington, who also needs reps, and get him out there and let him get some of the reps. You can leave Odell Beckham Jr. in there, but I'm saying is that try to get some other people involved that need reps as well.
And it's a very upbeat thing to have players wanting to go out there and play.
I love seeing that. But it's up to the coaches to make the right decision and say, okay, let's try to delegate some of this responsibility so that it just won't be one guy, because one guy is not going to win a game for y'all.
Hold on. In Indianapolis, Andrew Luck plays. And Andrew Luck gets hit every other play. He throws the ball sometimes 50 times a game.
And he gets his butt whooped.
And he gets killed. He runs the ball. He's scrambling and running. And people are like, they got to figure out a way to. I'm like, if he is your guy, he's going to carry your offense. If he could return kicks, he would return kicks. He does everything he can possibly do to try to get a win. And that's what Odell Beckham's doing. Excuse me. And that's what the Giants are doing. They're trying to get a win. You don't take guys off the field until, okay, the game's out of hand. Maybe you take him off the field. But Odell Beckham was about to set a record as well.
I'm not saying taking him off the field.
That's exactly what you said, Ernest. You just said take him off of punt return duties. That's taking him off the field.
I'm saying put other receivers in there with him on the field and let them get the reps too.
I know, but listen, Ernest, we don't have a punt returner that's talented. Odell Beckham got basically every time he got a return, he got at least 1 to 2 first downs. And that's the goal of the punt returner. It's not necessarily to run it back every time. It's to get a couple first downs. Other guys haven't done that. And we put a lot of guys back there this season. They put a lot of guys back there this season. He wanted to be back there.
Thanks for the call, Ernest. Sounds like we lost him there, John.
He wanted to be back there. He's the guy who wanted to be back there. So that's why he's back there. As far as being a receiver, if I'm the best receiver, it's not that I don't love John, but I want the ball. I mean, I hope John gets his rep, but if you want to throw it to me, I'm your guy. I'm like, I'm open. Give it to me. And that's what's happening. So I understand that he wants more. It's kind of like I feel like I had a Pop Warner conversation right there. You got to get everybody else involved. No, you got to win games. So he's your best guy.
This is the NFL, man. I mean, Beckham's a young guy. You can't be worried about injuries 7 games into a guy's career.
Amari Cooper for Alabama. They give him the ball. I would quadruple team him every play. Because I'm like, hey, they know they're throwing the ball to this guy. And he's like, if they throw it to him, okay, we're going to back off because he can beat us. We'll throw it to him right now. We're going to throw it down the field. We're going to pitch it to him out of the backfield. He does everything. And that's kind of what Odell Beckham's going through. You got to have – and Alabama has, 40 receivers on the team probably?
Right.
They go to the same guy over and over.
And Howard, quite frankly, and I know this is why the coaches are making the decisions, but, you know, Giant fans – you know, haven't exactly seen a lot of wins this year. They want to see their best players and the most exciting players out there on the field making great plays. I mean, that's why you buy the ticket. That's why you put the game on television.
But you want to win. You want to be competitive.
Well, that's also why you watch.
That's
exactly.
That's all you do. That's all you want to do.
Maurice in Montclair is up next. Maurice, what's going on, Mo?
Hey, Howard and John. Good morning.
Good morning, Mo.
Hey, that was a great call by the last caller. But
we love Ernest.
Great win yesterday, man. I really thought the keys to that victory was being solid on both sides of the ball up front. I really think this Giants team, although they have a lot of injuries, has done a good job as far as that wide receiver and other positions, putting guys in place. And I see a couple new guys out there in corner. They're playing pretty solid. But, Howard, I want you to touch on when that guy was talking about reps, I want you to touch on Larry Donnell, because you're a former tight end. What have you seen from Donnell, and what do you think his upside is, and do you think he can be a good player for a long time in this league?
Well, yeah, he can be a good player for a long time in this league. One thing he's going to do that's going to help him is this offseason, and I know it's going to sound like a broken record, he's going to have to work out. He's going to have to get a lot bigger. I mean, he's a big, tall guy. He's long. He's lanky. But when
he's
you
not
start,
thick.
Yeah, but he's not thick. And, when you put on more weight, it helps you play longer. It protects your body also. So that's one thing he's going to have to do. The other thing that he's going to do is that he's going to, you know, he's got to get some drills in where he has figures out how to hold the ball up instead of down. When you have long arms and you hold the ball down, when you have long arms, the ball's about right here. It's not to the end of your arm. It's not in your.
Basically, the distance between your elbow and the hand is longer than the football.
Way longer.
Right.
So if someone touches you, it's a lot of space for them to make a mistake.
That's why you see the guys with the long arms holding the ball almost in their hands sometimes.
Yes, because it's a protective thing. So that's what he's going to figure that out, and people are going to help him with that. But that's going to be the thing that he's going to work on.
Now, I want to jump on top of that, Maurice, and hang with us. I'm not losing you yet here. How about an improvement as a blocker? What does he have to do to become a better blocker and a two-way tight end?
Well, first of all, again, back to being physical, you got to be stronger.
Okay.
Okay.
How about technique-wise?
Technique-wise, it has nothing to do with it. A lot of times he's there, but he's not physically strong enough to hold up the point. The thing that they can help you most of all, I teach my son to play. I help him out and everything. I taught him that, you know, football's more about not so much being so strong and explosive sometimes, but being the first guy to contact. So if you're blocking a guy, if you can get to the guy first before he starts to move, you've won more than half the battle.
And theoretically, his long arm should help him do that.
Yeah, so you've won more than half the battle. You can't really just stick your arms out. You got to have contact.
Oh, obviously.
And I tell him if he's playing defense, it's the same thing. So if you're playing defense, unless you're playing linebacker, if you're in front of the ball, the moment the ball starts to move, you start to go forward. That guy that's playing against you on the other side, he can't get out of his stance because he's got to wait for the ball to move. So when you see it going back, you're moving at the same time the ball's moving. The other guy can't. He's not really moving until he hears HUD. The quarterback starts to move the ball. You go off the ball. It's first guy to contact usually has the greatest advantage to win. And that's something he can work on as he goes along, is to be more explosive, understand it. It's hard to do when you're on offense because if it's a loud stadium, you can't hear. If it's a loud stadium, you can't hear.
That's right, Mo. Finish up. What do you got?
Oh, no. I was going to say, and then in closing, this is kind of my, like, unsung hero, like one of the guys that's been very impressive to me. John, I want you to touch on this guy. I think Preston Parker has been such a great addition to this team. What do you think?
Well, Mo, it's funny. I was getting calls in week four from weeks four to about seven to bench Preston Parker for Corey Washington. But I think he's been a pretty consistent and reliable guy for Eli. He's not going to have that breakaway speed and make those huge big plays, Howard, but his hands have been fairly reliable. He's caught most of the passes that have come his way. And I think considering the fact he wasn't in the league last year and they pulled him off of the street, he's been a pretty pleasant addition.
I think he's grown every week. You know, there was a time when everybody was like down on Preston Parker.
Building tiki huts.
Yeah, he heard it everywhere. Everybody's talking about him. And all of a sudden he's like, you know, I'm just going to keep fighting. I mean, this is my opportunity. So I don't know how many opportunities I'm going to get.
And, you know, he's a fighter. He's one of those guys that's a fighter. He wants to be out there. He wants to play.
When you're not a first round pick or a top draft pick, if you're not working on your second big deal in the league and you're just trying to stay in the league, they give you an opportunity, you'll go the extra yard for it. He's done a good job doing that.
He can return, too. He can return that ball when they kick it off, too. He's pretty good.
Thanks for the call, Mo.
Thanks.
All right.
Appreciate it, man. Ball control and security on those kickoffs and punts. Little bit of an issue earlier in the year, something he shored up, though, and he hasn't had any fumbling problems the last few weeks. So
he's also learning probably who his best blockers are and who to get to. So if he catches the ball and he knows he's coming out, he knows who to look for. He's probably talked to guys and go like, hey, look, I know you're going to get my guy. I'm coming to you. I know how to play his design. You're my first.
Well, I was going to ask, is that how it works, though? I mean, don't you have to follow the play, or is the play just going to go where he thinks the guy's going to get blocked?
You are following the play, but if I have to return the ball – and I know that you're not going to get your block.
Hey.
If I know that and I've got to come to you, if it's in the end zone, I'm going to take the knee. If I'm coming to you and I know for a fact you're going to get your block, I'm coming out full speed with a lot more confidence.
I believe they call that health preservation.
They call that self-preservation is what they call that.
201-939-4513. By the way, listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home 10 grand. Head to DraftKings.com now and enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for free entry right now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Harry, did you run in any fantasy football leagues this year?
No, I didn't. You know, I did that one year with you guys.
Yeah.
I should have won. I think there was some mistake in the calculations at the end of the season.
I just performed much better than you did. I was a
barely
champion
beat
idea,
me.
By the way.
It wasn't like you crushed me.
I was actually very impressed. You had a very good late season push there, and you I was at a comfortably most of the year, and you actually made me nervous the last few weeks. You really did.
Well, I had some time to start looking at the instead of just like listing guys. I'm like, wait a minute,
how is this guy doing this? Howard's texting me names. I'm like, dude, you're missing a wide receiver here. He's like, all right, how about this guy? I'm like, all right, that's fine.
That's hilarious.
I'm not wrong.
No, you weren't. Early in the year, like, I'm like, wait a minute, I could win this. I should win this. Let me get on this.
Well, I don't know about should, but you could have. 201-939-4513. Steve in Staten Island. Steve-O, what's going on, pal?
Johnny boy, what's going on? How are you,
doing
buddy?
All right, Steve. How are you?
Hey, Howard, thank you for all those giant years you did for this team. I definitely appreciate what you meant for this team. I remember a lot of your games, and I got to tell you, it's definitely an honor to talk to you, man.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thanks a lot.
Oh, you got it. Hey, listen, John, you know, I got to tell you, remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about how this team is only scoring 3 more points on the McAdoo than over Gilbride, and I got to tell you, after watching that game yesterday, and I'm glad they won, all right? A win is a win. You take it any way you can get it. I think come next season, John, I don't know how you think, you know, how you feel about it throughout. I think that with a healthy Victor Cruz, I think you're going to see a lot more points put up.
Oh, sure.
Now... You, of course, listen, you're going to force, you know, here's the funny thing about it, okay? That teams are going to look to double-team Cruz. They're going to look to double-team Beckham. And you know what? I could just see a lot of good things happening next year on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, listen, I'd like to see, hopefully they could shore up that O-line a little bit. But, you know, looking forward as a Giant fan, you know, yeah, it's killing me that they're not making the playoffs. And I got to tell you, you know, you look at that win yesterday, and you scratch your head, you know, when you say, man, if you only did that week 3 against the Cardinals, if you only did that against the Cowboys, where would they be now? But, you know, I guess better late than never, and it's some positives to look forward to next season. And, you know, I want to know, what do you think about that offensively? How do you think they're going to look next year with a healthy Cruz? And like I said, you know, one or two of those guys are going to draw the double team all the time.
Well, Steven, that's the thing. You know, Harry and I used to talk about this all the time. Why did it work so well with Cruz and Nix? You double team one, the other one that gets singled up, that doesn't just win. He'll dominate a game. He'll put up 150, 160. And I think besides that, Steve, and I think, Howard, this is even a bigger thing, you hope to get third-year improvement from Justin Pugh, mm-hmm. second-year improvement from Weston Richburg, mm-hmm. maybe Rashad Jennings stays healthy the whole year. Yep. Larry Donnell is another year worth of reps under his belt. Yep. I think this offense really does have potential to blow up next year if everyone can stay healthy.
Well,
go ahead. I'm sorry, Howard. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
Like, you don't know who else is going to come in.
Well, that too.
That's the other thing. You may bring somebody in next year that's going to, you know, help dominate from the offensive line standpoint, to help dominate from, you know, if Jennings is banged up, you may have a guy that all of a sudden shows up that you didn't know you're going to get as a running back. There are so many factors you don't know as the season ends and a new season comes up. But as for what you see right now, what they have basically in the toolbox, they have a lot of potential to be a great offense, to be one of the top offenses in the league from that standpoint.
I'll tell you right now. Here's where you'd like to see your Preston Parkers and your Reuben Randles step up. And listen, I'm a big Reuben Randle fan. I told you, I like this kid. The minute this kid was drafted, I love this kid. I think this kid, and I said it to you, John, a couple of weeks back, this kid is as good as any receiver on that team. Okay, he's shown the capability to make the big plays when he's got to make the big plays. You know, when you're going to see the double team on guys like Cruz and guys like Beckham, you know, you hope your other receivers, your Parkers, you know, your Reuben Randles, those are the guys that step up now and can pick up where your star receivers, so to speak, are being held down and locked in their game. Gentlemen, thank you for taking my call, Howard. Again, it's a pleasure and honor to talk to you, man. Have a good one.
Thanks, Steve. What's your take on Ruben Randle, year number three?
I think Ruben Randle's doing a decent job. I think that as he grows, you know, he's been in the league a little bit. He's got to get that hunger of I want a big contract. And I'm talking.
It always goes back to the greed.
It's
see?
All about the money. And the way you get the big contracts, you got to get those touchdowns. And like, okay, you're doubling Cruz or you're doubling Beckham Jr. Okay, time for me to make some money. It's like, it's time. And it's a good thing. It's not just about it's about having some success. And it becomes a personal thing, especially when everybody's doing well. How do I have more success? How do I get people to get a few eyes on me? And that's how you do it.
You know, Howard, he taught mentioned it, though. He has all the tools. He's got the size. He's got big hands. He's got some speed on him. But he still hasn't necessarily had that breakout year. He's done it in stretches. He had a couple big games last year. He had one three-touchdown game, I think, last year, if memory serves me right. But he hasn't, and this year his yards per catch are down a little bit. He's not making as many big plays down the field.
Okay.
What does he have to do to make that next leap forward to become a potential number one option in the league?
It's just hard. You know, guys, I know people want to believe that guys can do that, and they want to believe that guys can make this giant leap forward. But a lot of times it's systems and who you're playing with that help you. When he was the third guy playing with a healthy Cruz and a pretty good Akiem Nicks, he was having great years because he had some people there around him that were getting a lot of attention. As he caught the ball, if you're doubling Cruz on one side and you're trying to figure out how to stop Nicks from making those big one-handed catches all over the place, he catches the ball, he's one-on-one.
I want to make a comparison. It's almost like Eric Decker is sitting there in Denver. He's got Demaryius Thomas going here.
He's got
Julius Thomas going to there. He's got Wes Welker in the slot. And all of a sudden, Eric Decker's getting single coverage all over the place.
He's like, oh, man, Decker's great. He's an awesome guy. Decker, when you leave – when you're in, like, when you leave the forest and you go to a place that has one tree in the park, you know, and that one tree is you get a lot of attention.
Everyone wants shade. They're all going up here.
Yeah, your leaves, your roots are getting done. You're dust. You're thirsty. It's dust out there. I'm telling you, he made a tough choice. He just did.
You're funny. 201-939-4513. David White Plains. Dave, you're up next. What's going on, pal?
What's going on, guys?
How are you, Dave?
About Ruben Randle, actually, I'm really not impressed with him, to be honest with you. I know he started off, you know, looking pretty decent in terms, but I don't think he has the work ethic, man. I'm sorry. He don't want to be great.
Wow.
I mean,
you're a football player?
To me, he doesn't show enough hunger out there.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I always laugh when guys say that. You work with the ability you have. And if your ability doesn't match the quote-unquote perceived ability of a fan, then they challenge your work ethic or how hard you are. I would love for you to come in and work out with him if we could arrange that. You can see it, but it's tough to. I was never this great gifted receiver. I was never the guy that they said, like, we're going to throw 15 passes to during the game. I would have loved that. That would have been a lot of fun, but that was not my deal. So what I did was I found something that I could do.
Your niche.
You know, this is what I'm doing. I'm like, if you throw me the ball, I'll catch it. You throw me the ball, I'll run with it. If you don't throw me the ball, I'm going to beat this guy up the whole game. So it doesn't really matter what else is happening.
You always beat me up.
Well, you're close. I wasn't going to chase you down the field, but if you're right in front of me, you're my guy. And that's what, you know, and Ruben has been doing what's been made available to him. So if they're throwing the ball, he makes plays. But the idea that he's going to be the guy who's going to get 2/10 faster, that's not going to happen. You're not going to get faster. That's not in your framework. You throw him over the middle, he takes big hits, he catches the ball, he keeps going. If you want to see a guy that's going to have breakaway speed and be the guy that's going to be lights out, even Odell Beckham, as great as he is, as much fun as he is, he hasn't caught the ball and taken it to the house. He hasn't come out and just blown somebody's doors off with speed. And that's what we thought he was going to be. He became the accelerated, like I said, the younger version of a Steve Smith. And Steve Smith will take it to the house. So we're waiting for that, hey, where's Victor Cruz? Where's the guy who's going to catch it, make the move, and is gone? And that's what you're thinking. And if that's what you're hoping that Ruben Randle's going to be, that's not his game. It just isn't.
No, I never thought he was going to be that. I kind of look at him more like I would like to look at him like an Amani Toomer type. one who can just move the chains and, you know, stay inbound, make those nice, incredible, catches on the sideline, you know, just kill the clock. I love that. I love Armani for that. He was awesome at that. But
that's kind of what Ruben's game is.
I think he needs to be more consistent doing those things, though, from game to game. Exactly. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, but he doesn't. But some games, it's all predicated on opportunities.
That's true too.
You know, so if he has a game where he gets two balls thrown to him, he drops one, and one's thrown over his head, then Ruben has the drops. If he gets a game where they throw six balls to him, and he catches four, and he drops two, it's not that he has the drops anymore. And if you win the games when you have the one drop and the one catch,
people forget him.
People forget the drops. It's all about opportunities.
I wanted to touch base with you guys about something. I know that injuries are part of the game. And
big part.
That it's football. You know, it's a hard sport to, you know, you're getting hit. You know, you're taking these cuts. You know, your knee goes one way. You know, so I understand that. But what I'm trying to understand is preventive maintenance on your body, is that the player's responsibility, or is that like a organization's? You know, because I know you guys got a gym room. You got a taping room where you get hurt and you get taped up. Now, as far as a player's concerned and his responsibility, there are other type of trainings or type of things that you can do in order for muscle elasticity and things like that. Are these players doing that? I know they're young.
Somebody lied to you, by the way. Someone lied to you. I played for like 13 seasons, 4 years in college. 4 years in high school and peewee football. I missed one game in all that time. That's genetics. That's God. That's whatever you want to call it.
Luck, too.
I don't believe in luck. if I believe in luck, I can't get my blessings. That's how I look at it. It's like you got to pick one or the other. I'm picking blessings. I pick the promise. It's basically you have to have, and this is, I mean, anybody who tells you this, they're lying. Like, either you're going to be healthy, you're going to make it through.
So you really think that's just something you are or you're not?
Like, wow. If you come into the league and you have something, it doesn't go away. It just gets bigger and bigger as you go, and then you disappear. If you come to the league and you're totally healthy and nothing's wrong with you, and you've been playing a long time, you seem to make it through the league. But it's not this thing where you can – oh, and I see this, and I see the Giants doing it. I see other teams doing it. They got the rubber band pulling their legs.
Doing the yoga.
Oh, we're doing yoga. And I'm like, that's all cute. Beer and wings worked for years. guys made it anyway. You know, and it's physical makeup.
Oh, man.
It's, you know, the healthier we become as a society and we understand how to get through things, we assume that, if I run into you at full speed, that it's going to be an easier contact. No, it's not. You know, if we're quote-unquote supposed to be bigger, stronger, faster, which is also not true, but if a guy hits you at full speed, a guy hits you at full speed.
Right.
So you have to learn how to fall. You have to learn how to, you know, get up. You got to be like, okay, you get banged up. Some guys play through injuries.
Well, I know one thing you always talked about, for example, Emmitt Smith. One of the reasons he always stayed healthy, Howard, is because at the end of his runs, oftentimes he would get to the ground before the big guy came and whacked him. You always used to say that.
Especially receivers. We used to say, like, oh, man, look at him getting on the ground. And he got on the ground, and he stayed in the league for like five more years. And guys were like, oh, getting on the ground may work.
Well, you know, people always complain about Robinson Cano and the Yankees, a different sport. Oh, he doesn't run it out. He's not hustling. Well, guess what? Robinson Cano's missed about five games in eight years. Do you know why? Because he hasn't pulled that hamstring sprinting to first base every time out of the box.
It's all about, you know, that's self-preservation. What I'm talking about is the health of a player is just the health of a player. Every year, guys get older. They just, you can see it when you're watching football. A guy that comes out, he runs a 4.44, 4.40. He's lean. The next year he's stronger. He's bigger. He's still running the 4.4 though. The following year he's running the 4.47. He slowed down a little bit, but he aged a little bit because all those hits on your body, all those bangs, all those nicks, it just doesn't go away. You're not gonna see. Like I said again, it's genetics. You're not going to see guys like Jerry Rice. You're just not. You're not going to see guys like Walter Payton. You're just not, because those guys had special chemical, physical makeups. Their biology was different or something. I don't know. But now guys are different when guys get hit, and we know more now. You know, if you got your knee sprained back in the day, it was a knee sprain. Now we have MRIs. You got several different X-rays. They're doing everything. They're able to check your tissue damage. It you know more about the injury. So I can't play the full game now that I know that I have an actual injury that could cost me more weeks.
It's not just sore.
Jadeveon Clowney.
Right.
Okay, he got hurt. Instead of him having a sprained knee, my knee's a little sore. It's a little swollen. We'll make it through the season. Put on a brace. Now it's like, oh, you have damage to your cartilage. Okay, so this is what we need to do to fix it. You got to come out. What do you mean I got to come out? You're out. So that's part of it now.
All right, Dave, finish up. Final, real quick, we got to run.
So are we leading the NFL in these past 2 to 3 years on the most injuries on a team or what?
I think this year the Giants probably have the most guys on IR, to be honest with you. It hasn't been a consistent thing, though, over the last 2 or 3 years. And, Dave, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. I don't think
Arizona's pretty high.
Arizona's high. last year the Cowboys had some, like, 17, 18 guys on IR. It happens. I mean,
it's a year-to-year thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So in closing, before we say goodbye, it's 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. You do believe certain guys are, quote-unquote, injury-prone. You believe in that?
I don't believe they're injury prone. I believe that, you know, some guys, like you can look at a guy, guy's ankles are thin, and if they twist them, they're twisted for life.
So they're more likely to get hurt.
Some things are going to happen. There's nothing you can do about it. I mean, if there was something that could be done about it, the league would be doing it now. And that's the truth. I mean, that's why I tell people, like, don't go into this thinking like you're going to be healthy the whole time. You're going to get banged up. I got a 13-year-old boy. He plays ball. I tell him all the time, learn to move your feet. Be balanced. Be strong. Because if you're moving your feet, you're less likely to get hurt.
Because your leg's not planted, it's not going to get rolled.
That's right.
You're
protecting your lower body that way.
Howard, this was fun, man.
There you go.
I got to make sure we get you on again before Alabama tries to win this college football playoff.
Don't be like that. They're going to win it. But I'll see you next week, probably.
Oh, really?
There you go.
Very exciting. Howard Cross, John Schmelk, Big Blue Kickoff Live, thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow on Giants.com. It'll be Lance Meadow and Jeff Fields. You go from a tight end to a punter.
Yeah, an athlete to a guy.
Wow.
Tell Fields I said that.
I will. The gauntlet has been thrown down. Check it out tomorrow on Giants.com. Have a good one, everybody.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Caught in the end zone. Caught. Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.